Ephesians 6 and verse 15 is our text topic today. As we come to this next item of armor, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, if I wanted to be funny, and I don't, I would say, you know, that text that how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Now, that has to be something of an analogy, because the literal version of that is not very nice. My feet do not do justice to any gospel text. But we are going to be talking today about the Christian's feet and the enabling of us to stand. And we are exhorted here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, to put on the shoes of the gospel and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Latin term for boot or sandal is kallege, and it is the name that was given to Caligula. He was the Roman emperor 4 years after the Lord died. In AD 37, Caligula came to take the realm or the reins of the empire. And his name as a young boy was Little Boot. Little Boot. And that name stuck, and he became known as Caligula. Now, the typical Roman soldier's sandal was made of rough, tough leather. It was a piece of thick leather that was fashioned in a way that it was airy, it was laced on the top of the foot, and it was very well fixed with the straps or the strings going around the ankle, so that the foot was nimble. It was able to march without blisters and sores. It was a flexible material. And underneath the sole were metal studs. They, of course, would give good traction and good wear. It was also a weapon when you were on top of your enemy. And just imagine getting that sandal with those steel studs crushed down upon your face in combat with a Roman soldier. Now, this was standard footwear for the Romans serving in the military of Rome. And these sandals, of course, were vital to the soldier, who needed to be fast-footed while on the march and sure-footed when he was in mortal combat with the enemy. I think you'll agree that it's difficult to imagine a Roman soldier standing in bare feet. Bare feet mean that you're vulnerable. You're not ready. You are at risk. You are not equipped to enter into battle or even to march. Now, we're not going to take this as a literal application to the Christian. The Apostle Paul is looking at these sandals and he's thinking, what lessons can we learn from these Roman sandals? What are the issues of the Christian as we march for the Lord and serve him against our mortal enemy, the devil, who seeks to trip us up, who seeks to get us off guard and attack us at our most vulnerable spot? I have learned that in warfare, enemies may lay not landmines, but spikes in the ground. And they would be hidden in the grass or the brush. And when an infantry would come along, if their feet were not well protected, they would walk on these spikes. And they would be painful, they would become infected, and in time they would render the soldier useless, that he could not fight for his army. And these things in these lessons need to be applied to our hearts and to our lives, because we know the wiles of the devil. He seeks to attack you at your most vulnerable point. He seeks to find a way to render you no longer strong and standing for the Lord, and ways to trip you up. And the Christian who fails to have this preparation will not stand. Now note the emphasis is on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now we began our service today with Romans 5:1 talking about this peace that has been purchased at the cross. And there's one thing that you must enjoy as a Christian to be effective in the Lord's service and in the Lord's army, and that is gospel peace. It must fill your heart. It must thrill your heart. It must be your song and your delight. And if you are worshiping God on any other grounds but gospel peace, you will be filled with fear. You will be despondent. You may become discouraged and thereby defeated. And of course, we can see that we're commanded to put on the shoes of the gospel of the preparation of peace, that we might be ready at all times. And so the first thing that we need to look at here today is that this preparation of the gospel means for the Christian a state of readiness, having your shoes, your feet shod with this preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the infantry soldier has to be ready to move at a moment. Mobility is very important in military warfare. Battles have been won and lost at the ability of a general to move his army to a new location, even at great distances. And the Lord calls you and me to be always ready, ready to move, ready to work, ready to advance, and ready to serve. And so I have to ask you, are you in a state of readiness? If you're stuck in a rut, if you are in an armchair that you can't get out of, if you have found some little comfort zone, that's where you are and that's where you're going to be tomorrow and the next day, well, you're not going to be a very effective soldier for the Lord. And so the question comes, are you ready? Ready in heart, ready in mind, ready in spirit, to be a witness and to be a soldier of the cross. Now, they not only speak of readiness, but also endurance. You can only walk so far on bare feet. Well, maybe if you were born barefooted and lived barefooted all your days, and there are probably peoples around the world that could probably outwalk most of us here on bare feet. But I think you understand that when your feet are well protected with good footwear, that you can march long distances. Roman armies marched very long distances. And I thought on the distance from Rome to Jerusalem. And you can do this on Google. Just put in Rome and you put in Jerusalem. And it comes out at 3,400 kilometers. That's a long way. Rome, right through Turkey into Syria. Of course, there's waterways as well to get over, and then down in through Syria, down Judea to Jerusalem. 3,400 kilometers. That, if you calculate it, at it's about 60 days of marching. 60 days on foot to make that kind of march. They demand endurance. And of course, ancient wars were very long drawn out. It took weeks and months to get an army into position and on location. And sometimes by the time they got there, the battle was all over, and they had to fight for the same territory all over again. So you would have double battles. You would have like David when he arrived and he saw the smoke and his village was burnt. The wives were taken. And I'm sure in ancient warfare there were many times when an army was responding to a situation and they arrived. By the time they got there, the harm was done. Everything was destroyed and they would have to rout the enemy all over again. And so movement, position, logistics was extremely important in warfare at that time. Now, as we take that to our hearts today, in your Christian life, speed and endurance is very important. Now, you're not called to be a Christian for an hour or even an hour a day. You're called to be a Christian 24/7, every day of the year and all the days of your life. And what you may accomplish for God in 1 month or 1 year may show very little. But God is going to take your whole life. And so he calls you to be a disciple, to sign up for permanent service. It's not just for a short time. And you're called to endurance. And for that you are to put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's why this peace that Christ purchased at the cross, that was won by the blood to bring reconciliation between your heart and the Lord. The state of your heart at peace is so important. You can't endure as a Christian living on fear. You can't endure wondering about your performance. Am I good enough? Have I done enough? Have I paid enough? Did I say enough? Did I read the Bible enough? Did I go to church enough? You can't live on fear. You've got to enjoy the peace of the gospel. And you are exhorted to put on, in this text, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that means to be at peace with God in your own heart, that this is the gospel for you, and you can march on it today, and you can march on it tomorrow, and you can face the rigors of life on the terms of gospel peace with God. And I pity the man or woman that doesn't have that. I really do. I think of wives at the kitchen sink in the tasks of raising their children and all the temptations that the devil might bring along even in that daily chore. You need to have undergirding your life the peace of the gospel. A father going out to work, providing for his family, wondering how long his job will last. Of all the changes that life brings, the pressures. And let's face it, the older we grow, the greater the responsibilities also seem to grow. And you're going to face mountains of responsibility. But as a Christian, you can endure. You can keep marching when you possess and enjoy constant peace with the Lord. You're not taking the next step in fear, as one with bare feet would do when in enemy territory, with those spikes and snares or gins that are set to trap. You need that undergirding peace. Another thing that these shoes do is they give a state of readiness. Agility is required because on the battlefield or on the march, the enemy may appear from any direction. An ambush may be set to spring from any point, and you need to be on your feet and ready to respond. Now, a well-trained soldier will respond to new orders, new directions, instantly. He doesn't stand around trying to rationalize and say, well, what makes them think that we need to do this? When an army is not on the ready to obey orders, they're in danger. And the Bible tells us to put them in mind, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to be ready to every good work. Just think about this. Maybe tomorrow, the Lord is going to open up for you an opportunity to serve, to witness, that you've never had in your life. Just think about it. Tomorrow, a situation will arise, an opportunity to shine as a Christian. Are you ready? Put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. In 1 Peter, I read that we are to be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you. Are you ready? That's the lesson that we have here in this text. And so there must be ability, agility, and availability. How's that for words beginning with A? Ability, availability, and agility. Have you got those three things? Are you available to the Lord? Are you saying, Lord, choose me. Here am I. Send me. And then you are agile. You're willing to turn whichever direction you may need to go, that you might be in the right place in the will of the Lord. And you know what happens when you make yourself available? The Lord looks after the ability. Because who is sufficient? Who is capable? We don't boast and brag, well, I am. I'm all equipped. But when you're available and you're ready, you're living in that spirit of readiness, the Lord will make you able, and he'll make you his instrument and his vessel to serve. So we move on to the next one, and that is reassurance. Reassurance. Now, what's different between reassurance and assurance? Well, a new Christian comes to the assurance of salvation. And that's a great thing, to be able to say, I have trusted the Lord, he has saved me. But as a Christian soldier, you've got to keep marching and say it every day. And that's reassurance. And these sandals of the gospel of peace help us to have this wonderful gift of reassurance. The sandals help you to be sure-footed. They give you grip. Remember those metal studs that are in the soles. They give traction. They keep you on your feet in the slippery places so that you don't yield your ground. And you can imagine in combat with soldiers fighting one another, there's pushing, shoving, elbowing, weapons coming at you. And if you get off your feet, you're defeated. You're down. And you're either going to need help from your comrades, get you on your feet, or you're going to get trampled into mush in the battlefield because you've lost your foot. But this gospel of peace makes us sure-footed. Now, I'm going to use the word settled because it's what the application is. The sure-footedness is the picture. The sure-footedness is the analogy that the apostle is using here. But you apply it to your heart, the meaning, the personal benefit really is to be settled. Settled. Settled in gospel experience, your testimony, that you can say, I have peace with God. And that's where Romans 5:1 comes in so wonderfully. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And if you're going to be a good witness, a good soldier for Christ, on your feet, you need to be settled that you've been converted, that you're really born again, and you have this salvation through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And soldiers need to be loyalists. Many armies have marched with the banner furled ahead, and you've got the banner carrier, the flag carrier in the front, and those soldiers follow the flag. They're loyal to that flag, to their nation, to their king, to their cause. And you need that. You need an absolute sold out loyalty to the Lord Jesus. That you're in a battle for truth and righteousness for your king, for which you're willing to lay down your life. No looking back. No betrayal. No Judas's here. No second guessing. You are absolutely committed to being a soldier of the cross. And these things settle your soul in the truth and in the faith. And so I have to ask you, do you have an experience of the gospel? Are you really saved? Are you really born again? It's very difficult to make a soldier out of someone who doesn't know what country he belongs to, who doesn't know who his king is, who doesn't know what his loyalties, where they lie. But if you are saved, Jesus is your king. He's your savior, your Lord, and you are committed to serving him. And therefore you will strive and seek to be his committed soldier all the way. Maybe you've never really been born again. Maybe the Holy Spirit doesn't live in your heart. Maybe you're completely controlled by the enemy, and you're led captive by the devil, and you don't belong to this army at all. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. Isn't that a fearful thing? To be on the march, heading into battle, and you don't belong to the Lord Jesus. You need to be settled in your experience, and then you'll be a sold out soldier for the Lord. Settled also in the truth. For the soldier to be sure-footed, no doubt he's trained in the art of warfare, and he must become very sure of his ground and of his methods. In the Christian's mind, there must be the equivalent to this. We must know the gospel we espouse inside out, up and down and every direction. Do you know the gospel? What is your gospel? What do you lay hold upon as a believer, as the very essence of the gospel to your own soul? Some time ago, a man called me to ask about the propriety or whether it's proper to use the word pardon. Seems an odd question. People who read the Bible and interested in Christian things, and they ask you, is it proper to talk about being pardoned? And I said, for the Christian, absolutely. We are a pardoned people. This is the ground of our assurance that what Christ did on the cross is all sufficient. And I'm not only pardoned in the past, I'm pardoned today, and I'm pardoned tomorrow, because Jesus' blood never stops availing for me. And so we can say an absolute yes. And that's the assurance that the Christian soldier needs as we stand for the Lord. Otherwise, we'll be off balance, tossed about by every wind of doctrine. If you go to your Bible, to Ephesians 4 and verse 14, you will see how this warning is given, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so, doctrine is important. Doctrine is like boots on a Christian. It makes you sure-footed. It makes you ready and steady as you stand up for the Lord. And of course, as we seek to serve the Lord, we need to engage. We need to take on those that are preaching and teaching wrong things. We need to evangelize. We need to get this gospel message out. And to do that, we need doctrine. We need to be strong, not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Also, we need to be settled in gospel uniqueness. We are not a very welcome people in the world today, I'm afraid. Christians are the remnant, small movement that are so narrow-minded, so opinionated, that we don't fit into the world. Well, hallelujah. That's what a Christian is. We don't fit in with the world. Christianity is unique. Let's just swallow the pill. We're different. We are not inclusivists. We're not trying to be all things to all men. We're not trying to please all religions and all ideas and all ideologies. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus, and we are settled in the uniqueness of the gospel that has saved our souls. There's no other man like Jesus. There's no other one who suffered on a Roman gibbet to pay the price of sin for all the people who will ever be saved. There is no other blood that justifies freely from all things. There is no one else that rose again from the dead on the third day, ascended to glory. And there's no one else has promised that he's coming again, and coming again to gather his people and to destroy the wicked. We have a unique message. There is no other Savior that is so gentle and loving. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. There is not one like Jesus. No, not one. This is unique. This is singular. This is special. And we live as Christians in the world with this one wonderful message. And we stand up for Jesus and we serve him. So we're settled in the uniqueness of the gospel. We're also settled, and this is my final idea on this under this heading, and that is we are settled in this gospel peace. Back to the peace again. After all, Paul called it here in verse 15 to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we are settled in gospel peace. This is our reassurance. And let me point out that these are shoes of the gospel of peace. This is our standing. Now let's go back to Romans 5 and see what the apostle made of the text, Romans 5:1. Let's see how he went on to explain what that means in real terms in the believer's life. Romans 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, the idea of standing with gospel shoes, this preparation of the gospel of peace wherein we stand, this is our position. And this is our stability. We stand on this ground and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And that is the strong standing position of the Christian. With peace within and peace in our whole demeanor, we witness the gospel to the world. And that's what you must enjoy, the peace of the gospel within your heart. And it's so vital, so important. And I think we hit on something that the whole church of the Lord Jesus is facing. An unsettledness, an instability, a waywardness, because we lose the very ground of peace. And that often leads to inactivity. When you lose your sure-footedness, you go nowhere. You stay put. And there are many that have fallen into the place of lethargy, no interest in serving. People get stuck in a rut and they can't be moved out of it. How do you move people into active service? Leadership is about stirring people to serve. Get them on the march. Get them in position to serve and stand for the Lord. There was a time when we need to call people out of apostasy, false churches, false doctrine. But I think we've even got to the place where we've got to get people out of their laziness, out of their unwillingness to put feet to their gospel and to get busy for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. And we need to get back to reaching the lost and reaching the world with this good news of the gospel. We can't just wait for people to walk through the doors of our church. We need to go and get them. We need to go and find them. We need to be like a soldier with these shoes on that's willing and ready to move, even in a new direction. Maybe try something that you've never done before in your life to reach a soul for Christ. Maybe go visit someone and give them your testimony. Leave them a Bible. Invite them to a church service. Bring them along. Invite them to your home for summer, and then to church to follow, or vice versa. Say, come along to church and then come over to my place for, I don't know, strawberries and ice cream. That will tempt people. That will get people interested. If it's children, they certainly would. Mention ice cream and you'll get the kids. So there's ways and means and ways by which we can serve the Lord even in a new way. Literature. What about a meeting in your home? You ever thought about that? Gather in a few of your neighbors and your friends and say, we're going to have a little meeting tonight. We're going to sing a little bit. We're going to read a little bit. We're going to play a CD or listen to a sermon or get somebody to do a Bible study. That would be new. That would be making yourself agile, ready to serve the Lord. For some people, what about a children's meeting right in your home or in your garage? I'm sure you could park the car out for a while and clear it up and put a few seats in and invite a dozen kids in. Share the gospel with them. There's many ways we can serve the Lord. Put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And if the gospel is ruling and reigning in your life, you will want to share it in whatever way you can. That will be the experience of the Christian. We need to beat the devil at his own game. The devil seldom uses the same tactic twice. He's very crafty, very subtle. And we need to be willing to change our tactics sometimes to reach the lost and take this gospel to the needy. My final word, don't get lost in the details of this analogy. We've spent a lot of time talking about soldiers, marching, battlefields. Those are just the picture for the message. The application is you in your own Christian life serving the Lord, resisting the devil, advancing the kingdom of God. That's the message. That's the application. Ways to advance the kingdom of God. Ways to defeat the enemy. Ways to proclaim the good news of Christ to the world. These are things that we need to take on board and take to heart today. And the Lord wants to use you. He's given you this armor. He's providing the armor for you, that you might serve Him all the days of your life. And I trust that you will be found faithful.